Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
The SGPN Fantasy Football Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. Bet $10 at WynnBET and get $200 in free bets. Bet big, win bigger with WynnBET. Download the WynnBET app now or visit winnbet.com and start winning today. We're also brought to you by Coors Light. Get mountain cold refreshment delivered straight to your door via Drizzly or Instacart by going to coorslight.com/SGP. That's coorslight.com/SGP. We're also brought to you by PropSwap, America's marketplace to buy and sell sports bets. Use promo code SGP on your first deposit to receive up to $500 in bonus cash. Head over to PropSwap.com or download the PropSwap app. And we are giving away $500 in our NFL Drafts Props Contest. Just go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/draft or click the contest tab in the SGPN app. Tuesday afternoon, that can only mean one thing in the world of the SGP and Fantasy Football Podcast. It's time for some USFL. Justin Mark back with me as my resident USFL expert. Man knows so much more than I do and is now fully on board the Brian Scott bandwagon. Justin, welcome back.
Thanks for having me, and I absolutely am on board.
The guy, I mean, fantastic. We'll get to his game in a little bit, but I got to tell you, folks, I you know, very rarely do you hear me do victory laps. You know this. I'm a man who tries to stay humble, but when it comes to the guy known as Brian Scott, I just am so excited for his success. And, you know, just the fact that he came out last week and played the way he did. And not only that, but liked Justin's tweet. That's the most important part of the day. We're bearing the lead.
Absolutely. Liked the tweet, DM'd me, and said he appreciated the sport or the support. Super nice guy. Super nice. Down to earth, like you had said before. And, man, he looks good. When you watch him play, he looks every bit of the part.
I cannot believe, like I said, but I've seen it, so I guess I can believe it. So, yeah. All right. USFL games happened this weekend. No delays. So, unfortunately, we did not get a Monday night treat for us. But we did get three and a half, I think, really good games this weekend. Because, really, we all sort of knew, right, that this league was going to take just a little bit of time. You can't expect them to come out the first week and look like a league that's been around for 20 years. You just can't. So, for this week to happen, and for us to get treated to some of the scores that we got, some of the action that we got, I mean, it just, for the next eight weeks of the regular season, this is just going to get better and better and better. So we had to be patient, and we still kind of have to be patient these first couple of weeks. But all in all, Justin, I'd say that I was very impressed with what I saw from a lot of the teams and a lot of the players this week.
Absolutely. And it seems like even though there are some teams that are starting to kind of rise above the rest, it's still anybody's game each week. You know, just like any football, any professional sport, it's anybody's game. That makes it more exciting. Most of these games, as you said, 3.5, were very competitive again. And it's just good football. It's so fun to watch. You know, I see people complain about this or that, or no fans in the stand. How can you complain? We have football in spring. It's fun to watch, and it's good football. You know, you can tell that they are professionals out there giving it their all, and it's super entertaining.
Although I'm glad you brought up the fans in the stands, because I got to tell you, listen, if you look at the Birmingham crowd, like for Birmingham's games, that's a good crowd. How can you expect anybody? Look, I mean, they're like, oh, but they're football fans. No, but you go out to watch your home team, right? I mean, nobody's going to pack the stands for the Michigan Panthers and the New Jersey Generals if you're not one of those fans. I know that people love football, and I love that everybody wants to say, well, they'll go out and watch regardless. No, not quite so much. You want to gauge your response off of the home team's crowd. Is it 50,000 strong? Is it 100,000 strong? No, but it'll get there. But at least the home crowd has a crowd. You know, a home team has a crowd. Everybody else, I didn't expect for them to pack the stands for, you know, somebody that wasn't their team, the New Orleans Breakers. No one's going to watch that team unless it's theirs.
Yeah, and the USFL's projection model is all based on the TV ratings anyways. So while, you know, it's nice to see fans in the stands, like you said, you can't expect people to travel from Michigan to go to the games, because not everybody can just do that. And if you are in Birmingham and you're going to pick one game to go to, of course you're going to go see Birmingham.
Yeah, no one's gonna buy season tickets to the entire season. It's just not feasible. So everybody get off the jock of no fans. I'm tired of that narrative. Let this team be around 2, 3, 4 years and then complain to me if there's still no crowds. Then you have an argument. This year, just let it happen, man. Quit being so damn negative about crowds and fans in the stands, because we're watching at home. Millions of us are watching at home, which is exactly what they want us to do.
Absolutely. And so, we're enjoying it watching from home, from the comforts of our couches.
I don't have to worry about rain in my living room. Exactly. Well, I don't know. Maybe. It depends on if the kids spill anything on me, and then we're talking about rain. All right. So as we do in USFL Tuesday, we're going to break down the four games for you. 8-minute format of breaking down the games. Then we're going to give you some free agent names, because there were some folks that emerged off of these that, well, of course, we knew it. From week one to week two, we know these rosters are still going to be absolutely fluid. So we'll give you 6 names to work on your fantasy rosters. Keep in mind for your DFS, and just have a good old time just getting to know new football players. It can never hurt to get to know a few of them. So, all right, load 8 minutes on the clock. We start with the New Jersey Generals, who barely beat the Michigan Panthers. And this game, 10-6 was the final score. It told every bit of how this game ended up. I wanted to be entertained by this game, but there were so many mistakes and so much not happening in this game that I feel like this may have been a very limpy way to start off the game. But for the Panthers, we take a look at Shea Patterson, the first overall pick, and this is why we're going to Shea first, because he was the first overall pick in the USFL draft. Only 14 completions on 29 attempts, 124 yards, no touchdowns, no interceptions. Justin, you can't have a quarterback completing less than half of his passes and expect to win a game.
Agreed. And they did, I think, for the second week in a row. I think he was right around that mark last week. So they've got to get the ball moving in the air. I know that they have ran the ball decent. It's been okay. And their defense has played all right, but they've got to start moving that ball in the air more efficiently rather than moving it in the air the last couple drives. Seems like the past two games, it's been the last couple drives that they've really moved that ball and had success. I think that's probably more because of prevent defense. But, yeah, they got to figure something out in that passing game.
And really, to be honest with you, it's not the receiver's fault. I mean, because you look at what Lance Lenoir did last week, and he did all right. I mean, obviously this week he diminished. Now, you can sort of thank the Generals' defense for that. They definitely did play tough. The Panthers had so many three and out. They had 5 three and outs in this game. 8 total punting drives. It just did not seem to catch at all for this Panthers offense. And yet, they were still in the game. So, you know, even that little alert told me, hey, guess what? The Panthers still had a chance to win. In the end, they were driving down the field, and the longest drive of their day, to be honest with you, and they couldn't pull it through. So But I think another thing, you look at the running game too for this. They did now incorporate a three-headed monster in Stevie Scott, Cameron Scarlett, and now they actually got Reggie Corbin into the mix, and they kind of cut into each other's production.
They really did. It seemed like it was hard for any of them to get anything going because of that. It was very split. Stevie Scott had 26% of the carries, Cameron Scarlett 33%, Reggie Corbin 30%, and then Shea Patterson had 3 carries for 11%. So, yeah, everybody kind of stepping over each other there as far as getting momentum going. It's tough when you're coming in and out to really get the feel. Scarlett, of course, did have the touchdown, but if you look at their rushing averages, Stevie Scott 3.6, Cameron Scarlett 2.4, and Corbin 2.6, nobody could really move that ball much.
No, and you know, 7 carries, 9 carries, 8 carries. Scott had 7, Scarlett had 9, Corbin had 8. It just, yeah, it literally was almost split evenly down the road. So not one guy had the opportunity to carry the ball more. And, you know, you talked about their averages, but look, the longest run for any of those was Corbin with 9 yards. 9-yard run. That's really not going to get it done for you in the end. So, yeah, I mean, that running game is going to have to get going to take some heat off of Shea Patterson. But I will ask this before we move to the receivers, Justin. Is it time to see what Paxton Lynch can do?
Oh, it, you know, we saw a little bit of him in the first game, and he didn't do much at all except throw an interception and fumble the ball. So I'm not sure if you trust him with that yet. But, yeah, they got to do something. So maybe that is what is needed to at least spur some momentum.
I mean, it couldn't hurt at this point where you're losing already. You might as well see what you got in the guy that played in the NFL. Throwing to guys like Lance Lenoir, say that 3 times fast. Lance Lenoir caught 4 catches this time. 9 targets, though, 23 yards. Last week he had a pretty big game, 70 yards and a touchdown. But this week follows it up with a 23-yard performance on 4 catches. I mean, his long was 7 yards, so they did not stretch the field with him at all. And in fact, it turned out to be tight end Marcus Baugh who led the team in receiving yards, at least with 38 of them on 3 receptions. But you're in for a long season if Marcus Baugh is your leading receiver.
Yeah, agreed. And when we talk fantasy wise, I don't know if any of the wide receivers at this point, except Lenoir, are rosterable. And then, well, you know, I know we're going to talk about Baugh later as far as free agency, but yeah, they need to do something. And like you said, maybe it's time to see if Paxton Lynch can get some momentum moving, get those receivers down the field more.
We'll touch a bit on Baugh, just like you said, coming up in our free agent period. But let's move over to the Generals, where the two-headed beast continues to roam free in New Jersey. Luis Perez and DeAndre Johnson split at quarterback again. This time, Johnson did not have the success that he had in week one on the ground, and it's because Michigan knew it was coming. I'm here to tell you, you get predictable in this situation when Perez is in, and they do it every other down. I mean, is Perez in? Johnson's in. Perez is in. Johnson's in. But Perez finishes with only one less completion than Patterson with 13, but he only attempted 19 passes. Not even 100 yards for Luis Perez and an interception. Johnson, 5 of 6 in his passing game for 48 yards. He did add 10 carries for 27 yards on the ground. But look, they got to get more creative with this, or 10 points is all they're ever going to get in a game.
Yeah, no, I agree. You know, I'm probably biased and sound like a broken record here because I've been saying that I think Johnson's a better quarterback. But even when he was passing, he looked like the better quarterback. I think you need to pick one of these guys. I personally would pick Johnson because of his rushing upside and try to stick with them, because then the defense won't be able to predict what you're doing so easily. Like you said, every other down, and you know what Johnson's going to do. He did throw some nice passes there, but most of them came on some type of run option pass play, an RPO. So I think you got to pick one of these guys and go from there and see what that does for your offense to get it going.
I will tell you that I lost a prop bet because it was not week one, but it was week two that Luis Perez's YouTube prowess and how he taught it came up on the broadcast. So I lost that by a game. But yeah, I mean, look, Luis Perez we know what we have in him. And again, it's not, it's pedestrian. You're not going to win very many games if your quarterback can't throw it for 100 yards. And he didn't even do it in Birmingham with the iron. So I don't know. I mean, it's time for a change in that too. But they did hand the ball off quite a bit. Darius Victor got 11 carries for 40 yards and the only touchdown on the ground. But here's the thing too. Even with Johnson getting 27 yards, it still was not necessarily a huge day. They did get 100 yards as a total on the ground with Trey Williams adding 34 to that on 9 carries. But, you know, again, you got to do more.
Yeah, agreed. I think Victor really has the opportunity to run away with the lead carry job here if he can stop fumbling. You know, when we saw the little preview show in week one, he had fumbled in practice. He fumbled in the game yesterday. He's going to have to really watch that, or I think they'll start giving the ball to Trey Williams more. But when he's not fumbling, Darius Victor has looked good. He runs very strong.
Well, and you look at the averages for Victor, it's 3.6 yards, Williams 3.8 yards. But, you know, just like you said, they both are explosive. Victor did have that big 21-yard run that he just bulldozed through. So, yeah, I mean, that's going to be the key to their game, I think, is being able to run the ball. Because it's not that they don't have, well, they don't have really the quarterback to wing it down the field. So they got to get it done. But for the receiving core and all the pass catchers, Darius Shepherd emerged 5 receptions, 58 yards. And then Alonzo Moore finally showing up 3 catches, 23 yards. Trey Williams added 4 catches for 22 yards. Brandon Bowman, the tight end, caught 2 for 19. And then their other tight end, Brandon caught 1 catch for 12 yards. Bowman, Brandon, Brandon. What do you make of this?
Yeah.
Well, let's go back to Satterfield, last week's hero, 1 catch, 3 yards.
Yeah, complete opposite of last week's game, of course, where he had 100 yards and the bulk of the target share. It's hard to make of this, and I don't know if it's the switching of quarterbacks that's throwing the rhythm. You know, maybe Perez and Johnson have different favorites of who they like to throw to. I don't know for sure, but just as the same as their passing game, the same as their run game, there's a lot of inconsistencies here that are making it really hard to figure out who exactly is leading this team as quarterbacks, running backs, and wide receivers.
We warned you. We warned you week one. We warned you preseason that it's going to be difficult and it's going to take a couple of weeks to figure out exactly who's going to emerge. We all can make our best guesses. We all can tell you who we think it's going to be. But even from week to week, we're seeing now as the first 2 weeks are into the book are in the books that it could be anybody. So just keep an eye on for the next couple of weeks. Then it'll get ironed out all in time for the next season. So, all right, we load up 8 more minutes on the clock and we move over to the Pittsburgh Maulers, the Battle of Pennsylvania versus the Philadelphia Stars, where I can sing the praises of my favorite quarterback. But let's talk first about those Maulers who made a game out of it after looking like completely lost in the first week. They come out and actually do very well. Josh Love led them 21 completions on 39 attempts. 236 yards. We are seeing some NFL numbers on there. 2 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. Josh Love had it all going on in this game.
He did, and he looked pretty good. You know, last week they tried a little bit of LaLetta. They let him throw the ball 10 times. This week it was all Josh Love, and he did not do a bad job. You know, obviously the Stars won, but the Maulers led that game at times. They stayed competitive in the game. Love threw for 2 touchdowns, 2 interceptions as well, but continued to clean that game up and improve, and that the Maulers might finally turn this around, and we won't be going, what is going on with their offense?
Well, and so, you know, with Love, it looked like he was very confident, and he did have to keep up with the Stars. I mean, this was not a game mm-hmm. where he could be a Shea Patterson and just sort of fade in the background, because if he wanted to keep up with the Stars, he was going to have to do exactly what he did, and he did. The Stars did pull it out 30-23. We buried the lead. We didn't get the score, but, you know, there was a lot going on in the passing game, but also a lot going on in the rushing game for this. This was a much improved. I mean, I guess if we were going to add, or if we were going to talk about a much improved team, I think this is the much improved team between week one and week two. Garrett Groshek, 18 carries, 77 yards. Madre London, 10 carries, 46 yards. This running game, 123 total yards, just looked really good. 4.3 yards per carry for Groshek, 4.6 for London. Very good outing.
Absolutely. Yeah, they both picked up their average from the previous week. Ran the ball just more efficiently, looked a lot better. The running and the blocking looked better. Garrett Groshek has a lead on this backfield, but I think both of them are relevant because of how many times the Maulers run the ball. Love how Groshek runs the ball. He is a tough guy, and there's one clip where he just gave a huge stiff arm to a guy. I like seeing that out of a runner. I love seeing tough running backs like that. So that was good to see. It was fun to watch.
Well, and I'm thinking that they may not be missing Davion Smith as much as we anticipated them missing him when the start. I mean, they probably would be a lot better off with him, but it's looking like Garrett Groshek might not necessarily be as big a step down as we initially had thought. But as far as the receiving game goes, Bailey Gaither, as was made clearly evident by the announcers, was Josh Love's favorite target over there in San Jose State. 7 catches, 117 yards, and a touchdown. Looked really good. Delvin Hardaway added 4 catches for 48 yards. Trey Walker, rather, caught 3 for 27. And then Brandon Mack caught 1 for 2. London contributed. Their other tight end, Hunter Therford, got 2 and a touchdown. And then Siebert and Groshek caught 2. But Bailey Gaither, the story of the day.
Yeah, they did tend to mention that a couple different times that they both played at San Jose State. But yeah, Gaither looked really good. Obviously a great performance, an average of 16.71 yards per catch. Love to see that. Hardaway looked good as well. He had 12, average of 12 per catch. Both those guys were targeted 9 times. Walker targeted 7. And then Hunter Thedford didn't have a huge game, just the 10 yards, but he had the touchdown and was targeted 5 times. So that's something to keep an eye on as far as if he's going to continue to get more looks than Matt Seibert and potentially hold some value there as long as he can get some more yards. But with the touchdown and the red zone look, it's definitely promising.
I will keep an eye on him. Again, it's just a matter of who emerges week to week, especially at the tight end position, because that's always a crapshoot, even in the NFL. So, all right, let's move over to the stars side of the whole conversation, where Brian Scott, 26 of 36, 272 yards, which led the league in yardage total, 3 touchdowns, 1 interception, plus he ran one in. Justin, I'm clipping this out for our headliner app, so sing the praises of Brian Scott.
Well, first of all, how does the player of the week go to Kyle Slaughter? No offense to him, but man, Brian Scott looked good. He's composed. You know, if the line breaks down, he can move away from the pressure, throw the ball right where it needs to be. He looks every bit of the part. He's every bit of the part that you want to see in a professional quarterback. Second week in a row that he's thrown for 36 times, percentage a little higher this time, yardage 70 yards higher. He's what you want to see. And he is fun to watch. He is worth, I just put something out on social media about, if you have not watched a game, tune in and watch the stars, because Brian Scott makes it worth the watch. He will make you a fan of this league.
I mean, look, he is reunited with his spring league coach, many of his spring league compadres, or maybe not even his necessarily, but played under the same system as their head coach. So this offense was already turnkey when it hit the field, which is why I think they have a leg up on just about every other team out there. So to watch Brian Scott now settle in with those people that weren't familiar with it, it's amazing, and I cannot wait for more because, again, we're in for a show. So let's turn – we could talk about Brian Scott for the rest of the 5 minutes, but let's not. finally, Paul Terry gets some run in this, and he had 8 rushes for 33 yards. Not a huge total, but – definitely getting some work. And then, of course, Brian Scott got in there. Darnell Holland, not a very effective day. 2 attempts for negative 4 yards, but he got hurt. So, unfortunately, that ended his day early. But then when one man falls, another comes in, and that's Paul Terry's territory now.
Yeah, and he looked really good. Scored the first three-point play that we've seen in the USFL. So that was fun to see as well. It'll be interesting to see, you know, if Holland's injury is going to be long-term or if he'll be back. If he is back, I don't know if this is a 50-50 backfield or which guy will take the lead. I know going into this, they were pretty adamant about Holland's our running back. But like you said, when one guy goes down, the next one has to step up, and Paul Terry definitely looked like he can do that.
Well, we almost saw a 300-yard game from a quarterback, so that means that there's a lot of pass catchers to talk about, so let's get to those. Maurice Alexander leads all Stars receivers, 8 catches, 87 yards, 2 touchdowns. And then Jordan Sewell had 6 catches for 72 yards. Bug Howard, your boy, 4 catches, 44 yards. DeAndre Overton, 3 catches, 42 yards. Paul Terry, 2 catches, 16 yards, of course, with that 3-pointer as well. Darnell Holland got a couple of catches before he left. And then Pro Wells, 1 catch, 4 yards. Really, again, just an overall outstanding day for the guys like Maurice Alexander and Jordan Sewell, who really just benefited from Brian Scott having a great day as well.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. You know, when you have guys that Brian Scott's thrown to, they're all capable of having good days because he doesn't focus on just one receiver. You can see him going through his progressions. So these guys are all relevant. Alexander, nice day with the 2 touchdowns, but Sewell had more targets. So interesting to see which one of those will leap ahead or if they will remain pretty consistent. And then I'm going to keep singing the praises of Bug Howard. He looks good. He gets open. He's a tight end, but he played wide receiver. And I think you can kind of see that in the way he runs the ball after he catches it. He's got his eyes downfield and he's looking to make a move.
It's funny. I watched him on camera when they were panning to him. And it's like, that's a receiver. Like that's not a tight end. That's a receiver. Like when you see tight ends, you see like these big stocky guys and he looks like a receiver. So I always get what you're saying, but by the same token, it's like, yeah, at some point, Bug's just going to go nuts.
For sure. And I'm looking forward to it.
there's a harp reserved for you for Bug Howard corner is what we're getting at. All right, let's talk about the Birmingham Stallions, the home team, versus the Houston Gamblers. I'm here to tell you that I totally just misread this Birmingham Stallions team. They actually are a lot better than I gave them credit for. And I'm willing to just go ahead and step up and say, yes, I think they are going to be contenders by the end of the season because they really did handle Houston, who I thought was going to be a better team. 33-28 was the final score there for Jamar Smith, 20 of 30 for 229s, 2 touchdowns, and an interception. There was no sight, obviously, of Magoo because Magoo's hurt, but I got to ask, are we going to see Magoo again?
I don't know how you can take the job from Jamar at this point. He's looked very good. You know, he brings that dual threat capability, and he just looks like he's having fun out there, I think. You watch him, and the guys around him seem to like him a lot. I think this is his team now. I normally do not like a guy losing his job because of an injury, but this is an instance where Magoo did not look the best to start off. Jamar came in and led from behind in week 1 for them to win. Then he gets his second win. I think you keep the momentum with him. I think changing at this point throws the momentum off of everybody.
It looked sketch, obviously, with that pick 6. The trade-off of pick 6s, you thought, oh, here we go. And then a field goal, a punt, a field goal on the next one, a fumble punt. But then all of a sudden, in the second half, it was like something clicked. The adjustments were made because then the drives began to result in some good stuff. Touchdown, touchdown, touchdown. You know, a couple of punts at the end. But, you know, for Jamar, I don't know if it was just knocking off some rust. But, yeah, he definitely looked good. Added some yardage in the run category, too. He had 8 carries for 31 yards. So, yeah, I mean, I think this is Jamar Smith's game. Unless something happens to him, I don't see Magoo really making a big push to come back. So
agreed. But, and that pick he threw, sorry to
no,
cut you off there, but that pick he threw, that was just a heck of a play by Likely, the cornerback there, the way he dove to make that and then popped right up to run it for the touchdown. That was just an excellent defensive play.
Yeah. Sometimes you just can't put it on the quarterback. It's good defensive play. But again, it always helps to have good guys to hand off to, and Smith has got that. CJ Marable, which, Justin, this is one of those good calls that you made in the preseason. 16 carries, 76 yards, and a touchdown. But Tony Brooks-James just won't go away either. 9 carries, 62 yards, and no touchdowns. But, you know, he had a good 24-yard run there in the game as well. Two really solid running backs for Smith, who also can run the ball, too. This is something that teams are going to have to watch out for.
Yeah, week one, I was a little surprised. Those two only combined for 49 yards. And then week two, it was more of what I expected to see. They went off for 138. CJ Marable's got 48% of the carries in week two, 27% for Tony Brooks-James. So definitely CJ's backfield as of right now. He also got the touchdown, but Tony Brooks-James cuts in enough to that to remain relevant, especially when he's averaging 6.9 per, yards per carry like he did this last weekend.
I mean, again, a good solid running game, especially in leagues like this where it's not always easy to pass the ball because of just inconsistency at the positions or just not knowing the playbook well enough. So, yeah, I mean, these guys are going to be trouble going forward. So if you have them on your roster, congrats. If not, go get one. Find a way to trade for Tony Brooks-James is probably one that people may let go depending on who they have also as well. So, all right, let's talk receiving. Where Victor Bolden Jr. had the most catches, did not have the most yards. He had 8 catches for 39 yards in the game, but it was Marlon Williams, 3 catches, 88 yards, and a touchdown. His long 64-yarder that gave him the touchdown. I mean, it's just a great play overall. And that was one that I think really set the tone, especially, like I said, in that third quarter. Osiris Mitchell gets a touchdown on 3 catches with 48 yards. And then Maribel gets in there for a couple catches, Brooks-James, and then also Carrie Angeline, the tight end. Yeah, I mean, a couple of big targets and then just sort of periphery guys.
Yeah, Osiris Mitchell's second touchdown in 2 weeks, so it definitely looks like he's becoming kind of a favorite around the end zone there. That throw to Marlon Williams, that was a nice throw. I was very impressed when I saw that. It just glided right to him. It was right where it needed to be. So that was a great play by both wide receiver, but also by quarterback Jamar Smith. Vic Bolden had 12 targets, 40% of the target share. So even though he didn't have as good of a day, still a lot of value there.
You give Jamar another week of practice. I think he's settling in. I honestly think you're going to see more of that, especially 30. This was the highest scoring game of the weekend right here, which, by the way, just to pat myself on the back real quick, I had the over on this, and it crushed it. So, all right, let's move over to the Houston side of it. I want to like Clayton Thorson. I do. I want to. But it just seems to me as if it's good, and then it's not. He had 13 completions on 27 attempts. Again, less than half, 141 yards, 2 touchdowns, which, yay, but 3 interceptions, which was enough to bring Kenji Bahar in to throw 1 completion on 6 attempts for 9 yards. It was bad, Justin.
Yeah, second week in a row where Thorson has had some really good plays and some really bad plays. You know, he made a great play rolling to the left, threw across his body for a touchdown. But then a couple of those interceptions, one flew out of his hand funny. You just can't make those mistakes and expect to win the game. A lot of inconsistencies, and they definitely need to clean it up if they want to start winning some more games.
Yeah, but I don't think Kenji Bahar is the answer either. So it's going to have to be Thorson. He's going to have to figure something out.
Yeah, agreed.
And I don't think he doesn't know that. I mean, a lot of times we get slammed for talking about some players, but it's like they know it. I mean, what are we going to say more than they're not beating themselves up about? So I'm cheering for everybody. I want everybody to pull through because I am a habitually nice person. So, but, you know, you just got to call it down the middle like you see it. So, but something you can call is Mark Thompson. This guy, 16 carries, 93 yards, just a hell of a day on the ground. I did say that if he was going to get going on the ground, Houston had a very strong chance of winning, and that was pretty much it. Dalen Dawkins spelled him for 7 carries, 25 yards, but really, again, this was all Mark Thompson in the running game.
Yeah, in his second week in a row where his average has been over 5 yards a carry. He had 5.5 in week one, 5.8 week two. So definitely somebody that has a lead on the backfield and has a lot of value.
Yep. So again, if you have Mark Thompson, I know you're not letting him go unless you really, really need help. But this is like more of a DFS name to keep an eye on, depending on how people actually or how DraftKings starts to adjust the pricing on that. But yeah, I mean, he is the guy and he will continue to be the guy, especially if Thorson is, you know, still only completing half of his passes. But we'll move on to the receivers, where we'll talk about Anthony Ratliff Williams, who led with 5 catches for 40 yards. But it was Tyler Simmons who had the touchdown catch, along with Isaiah Zuber. Simmons had 2 catches for 53 yards. Zuber had 2 catches for 29 yards. Julian Allen caught 3 for 14. And Tyler Palka caught 2 for 14. But again, it was Simmons and Zuber. Zuber, a little over Zuberith. Zuberis? What? But yeah, those are the guys with the touchdowns.
Yeah, and Zuber looked good last week, looked good again this week. 7 targets, 21% of the target share. Tyler Simmons, guy that played college ball at Georgia. I feel like I can't talk today. 2 receptions, 53 yards, 10 targets, though. So 30% of the target share. If he continues to get looked at that often, he's definitely going to rise to the top of this receiving core.
Read into those numbers, though. A lot of those were drops. You know, like a guy gets 10 targets. There were some overthrows, sure. But poor Thorson was not getting helped out by his receivers. That's for sure. So, but this is a receiving room to monitor. So keep your eyes posted on our feed, because we'll keep you updated on which receivers are actually going to be the ones moving forward for Houston should Thorson find his way around. Now to the marquee matchup, which I feel like we should give ourselves more like 16 minutes to talk about this one. I say marquee only because the score may not dictate it, but this was a game where New Orleans proved both of us wrong, Justin. This is our we need to eat crow game, because the New Orleans Breakers throttled the Bandits, 34-3, just nothing going right for the Bandits. But for the Breakers, Kyle Sloter had a Brian Scott-esque performance in this game. 25 of 39 for 266, 2 touchdowns, no interceptions. The man snapped his groin, came back, and continued to play. He gets my Iron Man of the Week award.
Yeah, he looked awesome. I misread this team on offense, defense, all across the board. I misread this team. They're proving me wrong. Sloter looked really good. He's a guy that I'd like to see do well. You know, he spent some time with the Bears in their training camp. And so I'm a fan of him because I had researched him then. But yeah, looked good. Couldn't do anything wrong, it seemed like. And if he continues to play like this, they're going to be a tough team to beat.
They most certainly will. So what was it, Colby? Colby always talked about Sloter Saturdays. Well, it is. We were in for a Sloter Sunday, is what we were in for. Like I said, if you can snap a groin and come back, bro, I mean, you've got my vote. So, but it actually was the run game too that helped him out quite a bit. Jordan Ellis, 21 carries, 64 yards. I mean, the yardage total was not necessarily there for Ellis, but to carry the ball 21 times. You know, it helps your quarterback quite a bit to be able to hand off the ball that much. Of course, a lot of that was when they were already up huge anyways, so it really didn't matter. But also, TJ Logan, 10 carries, 43 yards, and he had the touchdown. Of course, Kyle Sloter ran one in as well. But yeah, I mean, it's an Ellis and Logan backfield, and we're all just living in the rest of the world with it.
Yeah, and they've both have looked effective and good at times. I actually kind of think TJ Logan has looked a little bit better, even though Ellis seems to be getting more carries, 64% of the backfield compared to 30%. But it'll be interesting to see how that plays out going down the season if Logan continues to have a higher yard per carry average.
Logan just looks more explosive. That's really what it is. I mean, Ellis looks like a plotter, which you know, there's nothing wrong. It's just like when people call quarterbacks game managers. It's nothing bad. Like a plotter, you need those plotters. You need those guys to just push around for 3 or 4 yards right away or a couple of yards here and there to soften up the defensive line. Like everybody has their purpose, but Logan Jr. looks like the kind of guy that could just, you know, bust out and go. So I definitely like that side of it as well. But yeah, I mean, just, I don't know that, I want to get the ownership percent, I mean the rostership percentages for these players, because TJ Logan was the guy that was picked, but I think Jordan Ellis might still be out there in some leagues.
Yeah. TJ Logan was somebody that I picked up, after week one. So was excited to see him run that touchdown in.
That's definitely nice to see too. When the guy you picked up on waivers scores you a touchdown, there's a badge for that in Yahoo, right? So, all right. So let's talk about who Slaughter was throwing to. Jonathan Adams. Well, again, one of those names where people last week wouldn't have ever thought, but here he is catching 5 catches, 92 yards. And then, of course, Taywan Taylor, 5 catches, 43 yards. Johnny Dixon, 5 catches, 42 yards. Logan actually caught 4 himself for 29 yards. And then the man of the hour, our own Wolf of Oaklawn's, Sean Poindexter, 2 catches, 26 yards, but a pretty touchdown catch as well. And then Justin Johnson caught 2 for 23. Sal Canella got in the mix with a catch, but very impressive play by these Breakers receivers.
Yeah, both touchdowns were great examples of field awareness on both of those. The guys were right by the sideline or the back of the end zone and tapped both feet down before they were pushed out. Very impressive. And then Jonathan Adams had multiple catches, is the one-handed one. Then he had another one where he kind of turned back and jumped and reached over the defender. He looked extremely impressive. As far as wide receivers that have looked the part, Sunday watching Jonathan Adams, he looked the part. He looked every bit of a professional wide receiver. I was just very impressed with his play.
OBJ probably called him afterwards. It's like, hey, man, don't steal my thunder.
Right?
Yeah. But we'll talk about a couple of these on the free agent part of it. But yeah, keep an eye on this Breakers team. It's a little bit better than most people anticipated. In fact, I did pick them to be the upset of the week because I was like, okay, I'm done hating on the Breakers. It's high time to stop hating on the Breakers. And I did say that the defense was going to be a problem for none other than Jordan Ta'amu, who we'll move to right now, where we'll talk about that offense. For as good as everybody kept saying it was in week one, just really hit the wall. And Ta'amu completed 8 of his 18 attempts for 62 yards, 1 interception. And then that brought on Brady White for just a little bit. 3 of 10 for 34 yards and interception as well. They just could not get anything going at all. This defense was that good.
No, it wasn't. Ta'amu, you know, multiple people here, other sites, all around, you saw that he was the number one quarterback. A lot of people were touting that. I had him in my rankings as the number one quarterback, but you can't be a number one quarterback and have a game where you only throw for 66 yards and a 44% completion rating. I'm sure he knows it. I'm sure he expects better of himself, but that was a very eye-opening performance of maybe he's not what everybody was, you know, he's not reaching the hype right now, right? So now you have to really reevaluate, like, was it all hype? Did the Breakers just play really good defense? You know, what exactly is going on with Jordan Ta'amu, and how does he turn that back around?
I'd say it's a healthy combination of both. I would say that the defense was that good, and look, Ta'amu, we saw him in spurts in St. Louis be really good. And there was a reason why he was hyped. I'm not saying he's a bad quarterback. I'm never going to say that he's a bad quarterback. We all know that he's a talented quarterback. He's a professional quarterback. But the problem is again, you have to feel yourself out here. You know, you've got to figure out what you've got around you. And for Ta'amu, it's just he's had one good game. He's had one bad game. Now we have to see how he bounces back and does it again next week. So if we talk about the running game, he led all rushers. He had 4 carries, 45 yards, a couple big scrambles, 1 for 22 yards. And then it was B.J. Emmons who carried the ball 14 times for 39 yards. not very effective there either. Juwan Washington got in the mix for 7 for 27. And then John Franklin even got 4 carries for 18 yards. So the running game didn't help out their quarterback.
Not at all. And P.J. Emmons in week one, like the first couple drives, looked very impressive. But he ended up finishing the day with a 2.1 carry average. And then week two, a 2.8. So if they can't start opening more holes or he can't find more space, they're really going to struggle because it can't all rest on Ta'amu to move the ball. They got to get that run game going somehow besides Ta'amu running the ball. You know, we can't have him be the leading rusher of the team and still expect them to win ball games.
You cannot. And really, his receivers, much like we said, didn't help him, or the running game didn't help. His receivers definitely didn't help him out. B.J. Emmons was the leading receiver with catches, three catches for 29 yards. Cheyenne O'Grady, who was the darling of week one, came back with 2 catches for 21 yards. Daquan Hampton, their tight end, 2 catches for 20 yards. John Franklin, only 1 catch for 19 yards. And then Rashad Davis, 1 catch for 8 yards. Jordan Lasley got targeted 5 times, no catches. And then Vinny Papale got targeted 4 times with no catches as well. I mean, there's not much to really talk about there. There's nobody emerging as a receiver other than Cheyenne O'Grady still.
Yeah, he took the words right out of my mouth. There's not much to talk about there. When you only complete 8 passes, what can you say, you know?
Yeah, not much at all, to be honest with you. So, all right. Well, that wraps up the game recaps. We're going to step away for a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about some free agent names to put on your radar as we head into week 3 of the USFL season. Make sure to get down on the Win Bets. Bet $10, win $200 promotion, where a $10 bet qualifies you for up to $200 in free bets. Plus, the WinBet Casino is offering 100% deposit bonus up to $1,000. And of course, don't forget to get involved in their same game parlays with the Win's own build your own bet feature. All users can receive a $20 free bet when they win, lose, or push a 3+ leg build your own bet parlay between Thursday through Saturdays. You can keep taking advantage of the offer on the NBA playoffs. So much to choose from, and all you got to do is download the WinBet app now or visit wynnbet.com to get started. Offer subject to change. Terms and conditions at winbet.com. Must be 21 or older and present in the state where playthrough WinBet is available. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. We're giving away $500 in our NFL Draft Props Contest. Just go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/draft or click the contest tab in the SGPN app. The winner takes all. It is a hectic time of year right now between USFL, NASCAR, weddings, graduations, much, much more. We are always busier than ever. And if you're like me, you forget to take a second for yourself. So this season, go ahead and enjoy an ice-cold Coors Light because you, I'm talking to you, deserve a beer that is made to chill. Because I'm telling you, I know I feel like I'm always on. There is literally not a second of my life that is not dedicated to something other than me. But that's going to change. Between work, friends, million pressing social issues, you're always expected to be on 24/7. But I am going to take a moment to turn it off and hit reset. Grab a Coors Light because it is made to chill. And look, I don't like to think for myself, so Coors Light does it for me. That can turns blue. It's ready to drink. I'm ready to hit the Coors Light when that can tells me it is nice and cold. So when I need to take a second for myself, I reach for the beer that is made to chill. Go get Coors Light delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart by going to CoorsLight.com/SGP. That's CoorsLight.com/SGP. And remember to always celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. We're brought to you by Athletic Greens and their AG1 supplement. So what is this stuff? Well, with one delicious scoop of AG1, you're absorbing 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole food-sourced superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens to help you start your day right. Special blend of ingredients support your gut health, your nervous system, your immune system, your energy, recovery, focus, and aging, all these things. It costs you less than $3 a day, and you're investing in your health. It's cheaper even than your cold brew habit. AG1 supports better sleep quality and recovery, and Athletic Greens has over 7,000 five-star reviews. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and five free travel packs with your first purchase. All you got to do is visit athleticgreens.com/SGP. Again, that's athleticgreens.com/SGP to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily insurance. Back for our USFL free agents segment, where we will give you some names to keep an eye on, hopefully out there on your waiver wires, where you can find folks that can help you win some USFL games. Much like the actual rosters are in flux, your roster should always be in flux as well, because you can't win if you start people that aren't starting every week, right? All right, let us start we're gonna hit on a lot of guys on the Stars, because to be honest with you, it's just what it is. With Brian Scott throwing them the ball, there's so much to love about it, so you might as well just load up on your Stars player. We'll start with the breakout player of the week. It was Maurice Alexander. Again, 8 catches, 87 yards, 2 touchdowns. Great day for him. Probably out there on the waiver wire because nobody knew who he was until last week.
Yeah, absolutely agreed. 25% of the target share. Didn't have any targets last week. I can't remember if he was inactive or not, but a player that going forward you want to grab. And if he can continue to get 25% of that target share, especially coming from Brian Scott, or even if he just continues to be a red zone target, he's definitely somebody to go for and try to get on your team.
Turned a lot of heads. So, I mean, again, this is when you start to put stuff on film the way he did, the catches that he made, contested catches, open catches, seemed to find his way through the field when the play broke down for Brian Scott to find him in the first place. I mean, this is the kind of stuff that you were looking for as a head coach, as an offensive coordinator, as a quarterback that you can count on. And when you got one of the best quarterbacks in the league throwing you the ball, I mean, again, like I said, he's probably out there on your waiver wire. I know he was out there on our waiver wire. So if he's out there on our waiver wire, you know he's out there on the real waiver wire. Because, if you especially have a 6, especially if you've set up your league as per our SGPN parameters and only got 2 bench spots, then, yeah, he's probably out there on the waiver wire. So you might want to make sure to grab him. But and also, look, if he's out there and somebody has him, you might be able to get something for him, especially if the quarterback play is not as to their level and you want to trade a backup quarterback that you got that's better than their quarterback. Not very many out there, but I don't know. Try to start wheeling and dealing, I guess.
Absolutely. Maybe somebody started with Mago and they didn't have Jamar Smith and you did. And so you want to target Alexander or something, you know, a trade like that. It's definitely something to keep your eyes on.
Yep. And again, with DeAndre Johnson being good, I know that a lot of people didn't take DeAndre Johnson right away. They took Luis Perez. So, you know, there could be some deals to be made for Maurice Alexander. So I would definitely try to load him up. We're brought to you by PropSwap, where America buys and sells sports bets. The NBA playoffs are set, and PropSwap is where bettors find the best odds and turn the hardwood into hard cash. PropSwap is the only app that allows you to pick your favorite teams and then sell your bets whenever you want. Many PropSwappers make thousands of dollars just by buying and selling championship futures all playoffs long. This allows you to win over and over and over and over and over again without your team ever lifting the trophy. Go to PropSwap.com or download the free PropSwap app today. It's got fantastic features like filtering listed tickets based on the best value, a free activity feed to stay in the know with all the big sales, and red hot tickets for sale. You get a loyalty rewards program that turns your ticket sales into extra bonus cash and a first deposit cash match. Use the promo code SGP on your first deposit, and PropSwap's going to match that deposit up to $500. Join the real sports bettors on PropSwap, where America buys and sells sports bets. Did you know that browsing online using incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? That's right. Without added security, you might as well be giving away your private data to hackers, advertisers, ISP, and other prying eyes. That is why I use IPVanish VPN to make it easy to stay truly private and secure on the internet. IPVanish helps you safely browse the internet by encrypting 100% of your data. That means that your private details, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be completely shielded from falling into the wrong hands. Even your physical location will be hidden. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. It is literally that simple. You can use IPVanish on unlimited devices without sacrificing on speed. Your computers, tablets, phones, even devices like your Fire Stick when you're streaming media. Whether I'm at home or in public, I don't go online anymore without using IPVanish. It's got an incredible offer going right now. 70% off their yearly plan for you with a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's like getting 9 months for free just for listening to this show. IPVanish, super easy to use. All you got to do is tap one button and you're instantly protected. You won't even know that it's on. So stop sharing with the world everything you stream, everything you search for, everything you buy. Take back your privacy today with the brand rated 4.6 out of 5 on Trustpilot. Go to ipvanish.com/SGP. Use the promotional code SGP and claim your 70% savings. That's ipvanish.com/SGP. Again, we talked about it with Maurice Alexander, but let's move on to DeAndre Overton, another Philadelphia player, because we love us some stars, but they are the ones that are performing right now. Overton, 3 catches, 42 yards with the touchdown, and he's probably out there on your waiver wire because, again, last week was a guy that didn't necessarily contribute much, and now all of a sudden I think it's going to be a major player because he also, just like Alexander, is one that can find Brian Scott and open himself up to a target.
Yeah, he's a really good route runner, and he also has good awareness. So when those plays do start breaking down, it seems like he's able to get open just like Alexander. 5 catches for 76 yards through 2 weeks now and a touchdown. So obviously week two is kind of more of a breakout for him. And I think we could probably expect to see more of that going forward, though it'll be interesting with Chris Rowland to see if he comes back and what kind of target distribution will be there. But I definitely think Overton's somebody to keep an eye on.
Glad you brought up Rowland, because that was one of the guys that we talked about last week, right? That was one of our waiver wire pickup guys. Unfortunately, that did not pan out because he was injured, right? Or he got, mm-hmm. Yeah, he was injured on the last game. So again, man, you just never know. Like it happens, and you're just thinking to yourself, well, I guess this week I'll go after another one of those names. But yeah, DeAndre Overton, Maurice Alexander, two guys that you should definitely be targeting because on the highest producing offense of the actual league now, you got to have a piece of them. And these are the guys that weren't necessarily picked up or even drafted coming into it. So you're going to want to grab a piece of them. Move on to Houston. We talked about there not being a whole lot of things to feel good about in Houston. But really, one guy that has stood out a little bit that we think may be good going forward is Tyler Simmons. And we talked about his lines, but go ahead and talk a little bit more about Tyler Simmons.
Yeah, I mean, if they can keep trust in throwing to him, 10 targets, if he can come down with a couple more of those, he's going to put up even bigger numbers than his 53 yards and one touchdown. So definitely something to watch. I mean, he's from a big program in Georgia, so he's from that big caliber program, not a new to the scene of these big games. Definitely somebody, if they continue to get that target share to him, that will win you some games.
I think, again, as Clayton Thorson begins to improve, as he gets more comfortable in this offense, and look, I know that I said it, but it was also said on the broadcast as well, that really the only team that has had any sort of leg up heading into this is Philadelphia, because Brian Scott is with Bart Andrews, who he was with in the Spring League. So, like, these guys know each other's languages. They're speaking to each other after 3 or 4 seasons worth of actually playing together as a tandem. So there's really no substitute for that. And these other quarterbacks are still trying to get into it. And the Gamblers scored 28 points, which is not bad considering what we saw last week from all of these offenses. So Tyler Simmons, yeah, if he can continue to get the target share, I think he's going to be a big name moving forward. So, and out there, he's out there. I know he's out there because he didn't do anything last week. So definitely look for him on the waiver wire. Let's move on to Marcus Baugh of the Michigan Panthers, who once again, we talked about not a whole lot to get excited about for there, but a big injury here, Justin, has Marcus Baugh looking like he might be the guy going forward at tight end.
Yeah, Joey Magnifico carted off, did not look good. We haven't had an update on that, but it definitely didn't look good. Marcus Boss seems to be the guy that will take over there and will be the, he's actually the number one tight end before that as far as targets go. So definitely that's going to expand even more now. He holds 15% of the target share last week, 3 receptions for 38 yards, 13% of the target share overall through 2 weeks. So that's definitely, if you're hurting at tight end, or even if you had Magnifico like I did, Marcus Baugh is somebody to keep your eye on and to target. I think just, you know, we say how tough this tight end position is, so you could definitely do worse, right?
You've had to change your team name so many times, man.
I know.
You're just going to have to keep doing it. You're going to be that guy that's not going to have the same team name for 2 weeks in a row, but that's all right. That's the fun of it, right?
Right. Sometimes I feel like I can't do that because it throws off my mojo. I'm very superstitious like that. So if I'm continuing to win, I just have to keep it. But if I'm continuing to lose, I will change my name thinking that's got to be the reason. It's got to be my name.
If you're out there and you want to change your name, find something to do with Jonathan Adams, because that man, we talked about him in the game recaps. He's Superman, and definitely a guy that wasn't highly sought after coming into this week. A guy that just sort of flew off of the bench and really grabbed the attention of everybody. 5 catches, 92 yards. Like we said this week, just an outstanding performance. And feels to me, if we're going to ride the narrative that Kyle Sloter is going to get better and going to be a better quarterback week after week, then Adams and any of those receivers on there, I think, are going to have instant value. But I really did like the way Adams looked. He outshined every pass catcher on there. Even the guys that caught the touchdown passes, it still, to me, seemed like Adams was the better player. So he's out there on your waiver wire, I'm sure, because, again, in the SGPN setups, the benches aren't deep, and Adams was not picked and not drafted.
Yeah, he had multiple wow catches, and I feel like wow catches just gain trust from your quarterback. And so he's just going to continue to get looked at. 19% target share over 2 weeks, 23% last week. He really looks the part. He looked the best of some receivers that have looked really good through 2 weeks. So I definitely think he's the guy that, if you can target just one breaker to get, he's the guy to get.
He is the guy to get, you know, because, again, the other ones, Poindexter obviously got drafted really early. And then Taywan Taylor might be another name to keep an eye on if he's out there on the waiver wire. You know, but again, I think it's Adams that you're looking at this week to go grab. Move over to the Maulers, where really there's nothing super exciting at all to look at there. But one guy that I think is emerging a little bit is Madre London. Got some carries in there as well. So he's creeping up to me on the list of folks I want to pay attention to. Definitely not somebody who I'm going to go spend the whole farm on. But, you know, again, for this Pittsburgh team, it wants to run the ball. So if you're going to grab a running back from that team, the one that's already taken is already taken. Mondre London still could be out there.
Yeah, and even though they threw the ball more in week two, they're definitely a run-first team, and you can see that in their game planning. Madre London, I know he's the RB2. He has 40% of the backfield, but that's been good for 24 attempts, which is tied for 8th among running backs. So even if you're, you know, picking up an RB2, if he's getting that many carries, it's only a matter of time before he breaks them open, he gets some touchdowns. If you're hurting at running back, he's definitely somebody to keep your eye on. 24 attempts is only one less than Stevie Scott, who originally I thought was going to lead this league. Thought Jeff Fisher was just going to ride Stevie Scott, but he didn't. And then London looked much improved in week two over week one. Had a 4.6 average this last week, so looked a lot better. If that continues to stay up there, he's definitely somebody that can fill a spot for you if you're hurting at running back.
If you're going to run the ball 28 times, I mean, look, that just means that both running backs are going to be in play. So if you're hurting at running back, if you need some help, go look out for Madre London, who could be on the waiver wire for you. Justin, we have reached the end of the list. I love talking USFL, man.
It's a lot of fun. Even sitting here with a cold, I feel like I'm sniffling and clearing my throat. It's always fun talking USFL.
But it's also fun watching USFL. And we did, like I said, get treated to a lot of good games this weekend. Week three is going to be another just outstanding week that we got coming up. We got the Bandits Gamblers, Stallions Breakers. That's going to be a good one. And then we got the Maulers and the Panthers, and the Generals and the Stars, who I can't wait to see that game as well. My favorite team against my favorite quarterback. It's a tough call.
Go Stars. Oh, sorry.
I don't know, man. I may have to root for the Generals, except when they play the Stars. It's just going to be tough. All right, Justin, let everybody know where they can find you on social media once more.
Yep, give me a follow at JMarkFootball.
That's right, and then find all of his hard work, his hard USFL, NFL, whatever else we ask him to do around the SGPN out there on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. As always, you can find me on Twitter, at RJ Villagomez. You can find the show on Twitter, at SGPN Fantasy. And, of course, make sure to follow everything that goes on the Sports Gambling Podcast website. But until Thursday, when we talk NFL, we'll return next Tuesday with more USFL talk, and Justin will break it down with me, the week three action. Good luck on your matchups this week. And as always, let it ride.